looking at that text in Matthew chapter 9 very briefly this afternoon. But before we look at that, I just wanted to ask a few questions, and maybe my children could answer and shout out. Why do we celebrate harvest? No, okay, I'll answer it for you, shall I? Well, we know that God created all things. He created all things, He sustains all things, and each and every year He provides us with all that we need. Not just food, but shelter, clothing. And this is a good time of year to, as the farmers bring in their harvest, to remember all the goodness that God has done for us. But there is also another bit that we need to be remembering. This is what this passage here in Matthew is talking about, that even though that we might not be in a right relationship with God, we do many wrong things, God still provides for all of our needs, regardless of that. But there is something more than that, that He wants to call us into a right relationship with Him. I don't know if you've watched the movie Schindler's List. One of the most moving scenes is near the end of the three-hour drama. Oscar Schindler has invested his energy and his fortune into saving lives of hundreds of Jews who would have otherwise been killed in Hitler's Holocaust, because the war is at its end. The Jews he saved will become free men and women, while Schindler will become a fugitive. He walks to his car with his Jewish friend. The others are around them. Schindler begins to cry. He looks at his watch and knows if he had sold it, he could have saved another life. He looks at his car and knows that he could have exchanged it for additional lives. He says to his friends, "I could have done more. I could have done more." Oscar Schindler knew he could have done more to save Jews from perishing in the death camps. And you and I can do more to save people from perishing in eternity. Jesus did all he could. It says in verse 35 that Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But it's when he saw the crowds, the multitude of people who needed to be saved, he was moved. When you and I see the people as Jesus saw the crowds, and maybe Oscar Schindler saw the Jews in Nazi Germany, it should move us. If we are to see lives saved and won to Christ, we need to see the harvest as Jesus saw the harvest, of spiritually lost people dying and facing a Christless eternity. How did Jesus see the harvest? Well, firstly, he saw the harvest as plentiful. Then Jesus said to his disciples in verse 7, "The harvest truly is plentiful. The world is big. The crowds are huge. The number of spiritually lost and dying people is overwhelming." In Jesus' day, the population of the world would be approximately 150 million people. Today's world population grows 150 million people every 2 years. The world's population is around 6 billion people. The population of the UK is 67 million people. Secondly, he sees the harvest as precious. Not only was the harvest of people vast as Jesus looked upon it, but those people brought tears to his eyes. All those people then and now matter to him. Make no mistake about it, Jesus loves people. Verse 36 tells us, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion." The word for compassion is the strongest word for pity in the Greek language. It describes the love that moves a person to the depths of their being. It is the type of love that moves people to cry for others, as Oscar Schindler cried for the Jews. It is a love that moves people beyond sentimental feelings to heartfelt action. Jesus' heart grieves over every soul. God grieves because those who die without Christ never know how much he loves them. Thirdly, the harvest is perplexed. Jesus describes the crowd in verse 36 as being weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherds. Weary meant that they were defeated in life. The toils and struggles that had worn them down. They were down for the final count, ready to quit. Scattered meant they were broken and without purpose. They were wandering aimlessly. People without hope, without meaning, without reason for living. Like sheep without a shepherd, meant that they would follow a fad or a new idea, or even to destruction. Sadly, sheep are seen as dumb animals. They simply put their heads down and follow the sheep in front of them. If a guide or leader does not exist, they will simply wander and wander and wander until they are lost. Those three thoughts, weary, scattered, and sheep without a shepherd, are fitting description of our society. Ralph Waldo Emerson was right when he said, "People are living lives of quiet desperation. They are desperate for meaning and purpose, distraught by the world's lies and heading for destruction. They are walking down a path that Jesus referred to as the broad road that leads to death." Fourthly, the harvest is perishing. In another occasion, Jesus said to his followers in the Gospel according to John chapter 4 and verse 35, "Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." Well, I know little of farming myself. I do understand that ripened wheat takes on a golden hue when ready for harvest. However, if reaping is delayed, the grain becomes and turns a pale white and will soon fall over the ground. To speak of the fields as white unto harvest is to stress the imperative of getting into the fields before it's too late. There is always a sense of urgency in bringing in the harvest. Of the 6 billion people in the world, it's estimated that over 30 million people worldwide will die without Christ this year. It's estimated that 41% of people are radically unchurched. That means they don't go to church at all, not even Easter, at Christmas or weddings. They do not come through the doors of a church any time of the year. And if they were to die, they would not know the love that Christ has for them. There is always a sense of urgency in bringing in a harvest. The old preacher Vance Havner used to say, "The tragedy of our time is the situation is desperate, but the saints are not. We are living in desperate times, and desperate times demand action. We are living in a time when little boys and little girls, teenagers, take revenge on other teenagers. People steal and cheat and kill because they simply demand their own way. We live in a lost and broken world that is desperate for the good news of Jesus Christ." 3 weeks before President John F. Kennedy was assassinated, he said, "Almost all presidents leave office feeling that their work is unfinished. I have a lot to do and so little time to do it. And as followers of Christ, we have much work to do and little time to do it. We must give ourselves to it. The times demand urgent action. Remember, the good news of the gospel is only good news if it arrives in time." And finally, the harvest is our priority. Feel what Jesus feels. He is overwhelmed by his love for people as he sees the vastness of the crowds and the perplexity of their problems and the sense of urgency in reaching them. Then Jesus says in verses 37 and 38, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." You need to know that the Pharisees, the religious leaders of Jesus' day, saw the common people as chaff to be destroyed and burned up. Jesus saw them as a harvest to be reaped and to be saved. The Pharisees, in their pride, looked for the destruction of sinners. Jesus, in love, died for the salvation of sinners. Herein lies one of the greatest truths of the Christian faith. The harvest will never be reaped unless the reapers reap it. Jesus Christ needs men and women to bring in the harvest. Jesus' followers today need to see people as Jesus saw them, as plentiful, precious, perplexed and perishing. Well, what can we do? We can take responsibility for our field. Think of all the people we contact every day. Family, friends, neighbours, work associates. That passing person in the street. That is our field. We are responsible for them. We will never have a sense of urgency and priority until we realise that we are responsible for them. We can pray. We can begin to see people as Jesus saw them. Then we will pray for the harvest. We will pray for the salvation of the lost. For the church to be trainers of reapers and for men and women to go into the harvest. We will pray for workers, labourers, servers and givers. But we must do more than pray. We can go. We can see people as Jesus saw them and we will go into the harvest. We can't bring in the harvest without first going into the harvest. Our job is not to save the harvest. That's God's work. Our job is to tell people about the Lord of the harvest. The gospel begins with go. Without going, there is no knowing. If we don't go, who will? We can share our story. The great sin of the church is the sin of silence. People often say, I'll let my life be a witness. We have taken the Great Commission and made it the Great Omission. A subtle false teaching says we can be evangelical without being evangelistic. It has us believe that we can go to church rather than we go into the world. But you say there are so many people. The harvest is so vast. The needs are overwhelming. What can I do? I'm reminded of an old man walking along the beach at dawn who noticed a young man ahead of him picking up starfish and flinging them back into the sea. Catching up with the geese, he asked what was he doing. The answer was that the stranded starfish would die if they were left in the morning sun. But the beach goes on for miles, and there are millions of starfish, countered the old man. How can your effort make a difference? The young man looked at the starfish in his hand and threw it to safety in the waves. It makes a difference to this one, he said. I hope that your heart will be stirred to make a difference this harvest. You see, when we begin to see people as Jesus saw people, it makes a difference in the world. When we see people as Jesus saw people, it will cause us to take responsibility, to pray, to go and tell people about Jesus. Oscar Schindler said, I could have done more. Can we do more when it comes to bringing in the harvest of souls? If you're not a Christian, see how much Jesus loves you. These verses, he's moved with compassion for you. See Jesus today as your Saviour. Amen. Well, let's sing our final hymn before we close. It's hymn number 830 in Christian hymns. And it is, I forgot what it is, probably one of the most famous hymns for harvest. We plough the fields and scatter. So if you're able, please do stand.